Welcome back to Footwork, a podcast for those who dream big, never settle, and make their own path. I'm Sean.
And I'm Dylan. Together with guests, we share stories and tips every Monday to educate, inspire, and create a community built of soccer players and dream chasers.
Better to have a short life that is full of what you like doing than a long life spent in a miserable way.
Welcome to Footwork. Matt Miazga is an American professional footballer currently playing for FC Cincinnati in the MLS. Over the past 10 years, Matt has played with 8 teams in 6 different countries. His journey began with the New York Red Bulls, signed with Chelsea in 2016, and then was loaned out for the next 6 years, taking him to Holland, France, England, Belgium, and Spain. After his final loan move in Spain, he made the jump back to the US to sign with FC Cincinnati. Matt's mentality shines throughout the conversation, showing how he was able to adapt and thrive at each of these clubs. We talk about the move to Chelsea, being on loan and what comes with that, U.S. men's national team caps, having to perform immediately while still adapting to a new environment, and playing under Vincent Kompany at Anderlecht in Belgium. So, Matt Miazga, welcome to Footwork.
Thanks for having me, guys.
We always start with the motto, make your own path, for someone who, I mean, really embodies with this unique journey and professional career. What does making your own path mean to you?
Good question. Making your own path is kind of, it's about, you know, setting goals for yourself, visualizing those goals, making a plan on how to achieve them, and doing it through, you know, hard work, consistency, and a lot of discipline, because that's the only way you can really do it. I always say if it was easy, everybody would do it. You know what I mean? And this journey of, you know, pushing yourself and trying to become the best footballer, and in this case, you can be, is definitely a lot about, you know, consistency and discipline. So that's what I would say.
And before we dive deeper into your amazing career, who are you? Where were you? And where are you going?
Well, how should I answer this? I'm just a normal American Polish kid that grew up to two immigrants from Poland in New Jersey, and that's kind of, you know, the basis of who I am. You know, my parents instilled a lot of hard working values in me, and that kind of, you know, brought me to who I am today, and made sure that I, you know, if I want to achieve something in this life, in this career, is to work hard and push yourself no matter what. So I would say that's who I am. Where I'm going is a really good question. I just try to strive every day to be better as a person, as a footballer, as a father now, as a husband, as a brother, as a son, as a teammate, and as a friend. So, and as a human being. So I think that's really, you know, I can just every day kind of just be better than I was the day before. And take it like that, because when I was younger and a lot of, for me, it was kind of like you look too far ahead from the future and you kind of like forget what's happening in the present. And you got to really focus on the present and what's going on in your life now. Sometimes you worry about, you know, the end goal too much and you forget about, you know, the journey. So that's kind of where I'm at right now.
And starting with the now, I mean, speaking on it, for someone who's played for 8 teams in 6 different countries across 10 years, how does it feel to be back in the MLS playing in your home country? And what does it feel like for playing for a club like FC Cincinnati?
Yeah, it feels good. Like you said, I've played in a lot of different countries and teams and I've gotten some great experiences, but yeah, now to be back to MLS, it's definitely enjoyable as well. Being back, the league has grown tremendously since I've left. You know, the league is getting there, you know, it's definitely growing, at a fast rate. You could see with all the clubs, the stadiums that have been built and are being built. You know, a lot of now players from MLS are being sold for big money to Europe, which is also a big step, because you can see that European clubs are coming to MLS for talent. I feel like I'm in a good moment right now. You know, the club's doing well. FCC has really invested in the club and the players and the infrastructures. You obviously know that, you know, they have a new stadium that's amazing, full capacity all the time. And they have now they're building like new infrastructures around around the new developments around the stadium that is going to make it feel more European like, with, you know, making it more of like a, you know, a city feel. It's in the city, but it's a little bit on the outskirts. So that's growing. And yeah, MLS is in a good moment now. It's going to keep growing. And especially now with the 26 World Cup coming up, I think you can imagine after the 26 World Cup, how much more players are going to be coming to MLS. That's for sure.
You got a good taste of some very high level European leagues. How do you compare the MLS on the field?
I would say intensity wise, definitely up there. You know, there's a lot of physicality involved in the MLS. I would probably say that MLS probably really compares to like the championship in England and like a little bit of the Belgian league. The Belgian league is very physical and direct as well. So I would say it's probably a comparison of those two. La Liga was just the league is a higher level. France was a higher level. Holland was more like technically better, but less fast paced, I would say. But if I were to do comparison to the leagues I played in, I'd probably say the Belgian league or the English championship is a similar comparison to the way MLS games are.
And what led you to the decision after playing in Europe for such a long time, since 2015, to decide to come back to the MLS?
I think it was a culmination of things. You look at where you at, you know, personally in your life. You know, I've gotten an amazing amount of experience and opportunities in Europe, and I've been there for, you know, 6.5-7 years. And then when Cincinnati came, the project they presented was a bit more attractive than some of the European clubs that came in for me, because the time was, the reality was I was leaving Chelsea at the time, and obviously being at a big club like that for numerous years and then going to other big clubs on loan was good. And then the last few months in Spain, I didn't play much. So I was kind of like in a weird situation at my age. I got some decent offers in Europe, but the best one for me at the time was Cincinnati, and it all worked out, and I couldn't be happier with my decision.
And you mentioned Chelsea. I guess we can go way back and take it there when you made the jump from New York Red Bulls to Chelsea, and then which led you to a life on loan as Chelsea has come to be infamously known for as a Chelsea fan myself. But what was that like? I mean, you were playing with the men's team at Red Bulls for 2 years, didn't see much time, and then you had one great season. Was a big part of that season, and the next season Chelsea comes knocking, and that started your European career.
Yeah, it all happened very quickly. Started playing at Red Bull pretty young. I was able to Jesse Marsh gave me very backed me with a lot of confidence and gave me an opportunity, and I kind of took it with both hands. So that was definitely a great moment for me, playing for my hometown club, playing every game, winning the Supporters Shield, and then had a good U20 World Cup. And I remember there was a lot of European offers at the time. Chelsea came in strong in the winter, and then it was kind of, you know, that was the best option for me at the time. It was I remember speaking with Mourinho when he was the manager. He wanted me with the first team right away. I saw a path at the time because, you know, you had Gary Cahill, JT, and Ivanovic and Zuma right at the time, center backs. So you had three guys that were, you know, getting older, and then you had a younger guy. And I kind of came into the first team picture as another younger guy to see if I can, you know, make a pathway for myself and learn from the older guys. Unfortunately, Mourinho got sacked a few weeks after I met with him. But the club still believed in me and went out for me and got me. So I was able to be with the first team for, you know, that 15-16 season. But then Conte came in the next preseason. And the reality was that I was a young, raw central defender from America. I had, 50 MLS games at the time. So the reality was, you know, Conte or a big manager like that wasn't going to rely on a young center back with relatively no European experience. So the reality was I had to go on loan, and Vitesse was the perfect option for me going to Eredivisie for a club fighting for European spots. And I was able to get in and get my games in, win a trophy, and play Europa League. So I got a bunch of experience through there. And then that kind of obviously led me to a few other loans. By the time, you know, when that all happens, you know, there's more managerial changes at Chelsea. You're playing for one of the biggest clubs in the world. They're going to go out and buy, you know, a $30, $40 million center back and go with him. And, you know, that's why you see a lot of players that go on loan from Chelsea or, you know, previous players from previous managers that get sacked. And a new manager comes in, gets his own players. There's also a lot of young academy players from Chelsea that go on loan because there's a, you know, you have the best academy in Europe technically, and then you have like one of the best first teams in the world, and there's a big gap, and they're too good for the academy, the young kids, but they're not good enough for the first team at the time, so they have to go out on loan and get experience, and just that's how it goes. So there's a stigma that, you know, the loan. If you get loaned out, it's not good, but it's actually really good for you and your development. You know, you're going out and playing men's football.
Right.
So a lot of people who have this notion that it's not good, they have no idea what they're talking about. That's part of the development. That's part of the journey for the young player. So.
And coming back into preseason each time with Chelsea, can you explain us your approach there? Because it almost seems like you kind of have to go on trial again, even though you're at this club where you have to prove yourself each time there's new managers each year or whatever it may be. How did you kind of approach this process each preseason?
Yeah, each preseason was a bit different. The reality was after like the first year or two, when I would come back to preseason, I would think like, oh yeah, maybe I have a good chance in preseason to show. But the reality was like, you know, then that they buy a wave of new players, and it's hard to break in. That's just the reality. You're trying to break into one of the biggest clubs in the world. So my mindset was kind of trying to get sold at that point. It's very hard to get sold also, because you have to have three parties to agree to a deal. So sometimes, you know, there were good offers, but they were rejected by the club. Sometimes there were offers, but I wasn't necessarily, you know, interested. So it's like a big process, and definitely a lot of things that happened. But definitely after, you know, after I came back from Vitesse, after 2 years, I kind of knew like I needed to kind of get out on a permanent to kind of work my way to get back to that level, if that makes sense. But I was never able to get on a permanent for many different reasons. So, but I was still glad that I was able to get some good loans and good clubs to come in for me and play some solid minutes in different leagues for sure.
Yeah. And how was that first half a season with Chelsea when you first went there to play with the likes of John Terry, Cahill, Ivanovic?
Yeah, it was great, man. It was great. Obviously, it all happened so fast. I was in a high, obviously, you know, I was at 19, 20 years old, just won, you know, a trophy with Red Bulls, playing for my hometown club, just got called up to the national team under Klinsmann. So like, I was like on a real high, and then right away in January, I go to the first team of Chelsea, and everything just happened so fast. So it didn't really sink into me when I was there. It was just kind of like just the progression of where I was at. It was a big step, and it was kind of, you know, in my mind, I was always envisioning this step. So when I got there, it was great. You know, I was playing with some of the best players in the world at the time, some amazing players, amazing people. It was definitely a great experience. You know, I was on the bench in some Champions League games, made my Premier League debut. So it was definitely some good experiences. Obviously, I learned a lot playing at that level, what it takes to be the best day in and day out. I learned a lot for sure.
Another influential person in your career and someone who's had a star-studded Premier League career of their own was Vincent Kompany at Anderlecht. And I've heard you speak about him a little bit on some other podcasts, and I was just wondering if you could dive into what it's like to play for a manager like him and what you've kind of learned both on and off the field from him.
Yeah, he was amazing. He was one of the best managers I ever had. I can speak a lot about him. I can't say enough good words. I learned a lot from him, not just because he was a center back, And he always gave me tips and gave everybody, all the defenders, tips in a lot of certain situations. But the way he approached, you know, his tactics and his philosophy, you can see that, you know, every moment on the pitch that we were doing played a role in how we played as a team. Because a lot, you know, you can easily, like, I've been at a lot of clubs and been with coaches, and most of the coaches are like this. You know, you do sometimes drills and sessions, and they're not really, you know, they're just football drills or a possession drill or, you know, a 5v5, small-sided. But with him, every type of drill, every moment in the session was a way to emphasize our philosophy and build on how we play the game. So that was really helpful. Even on the video, we would do tactical analysis of a pre-match analysis of the opponent, and we would watch the video and then the scout, and he would show, you know, how the other team plays, and then he would draw and show tactics on how we're going to play against them and beat them, and show opportunities for us to exploit the opponent. Sorry, I need a glass of water. But and then we would go on the pitch and work on it. So he would show it to us on the board and in the video, and then we would work on it in training. And when you worked out in training, we go on the pitch, and exactly what he would say, what would happen is exactly what would happen on the pitch. It was just a matter of us executing the moment and the strategies. And most of the time we were able to do that. Sometimes we weren't, but we're not perfect. So it happens. But that was the first time I've ever been part of a coaching staff where, like, it was so detail oriented, every situation. And then when game day came about, you were so prepared and you were so ready and so confident. And that's what you really want as a player, to be prepared for game day and have the confidence that, yeah, we're a good team and we know how to play and we're going to stick to our principles. So he was really good at that.
Does it surprise you?
Now they just got promoted.
I was just going to say, does it surprise you?
I'm not surprised. I said, when I was at Anderlecht, I said that, you know, he was going to be a manager for a big club one sooner rather than later. So I still believe that. And as you can see, he just took Burnley in his first year in the championship, which is not easy. No. Definitely not easy. And he went to, he got promoted with 100 points or something like that. So fair play to them. So the congratulations to the people over there. Yeah.
How have all these moves adapting to all these different places, leagues and countries helped you grow on and off the field?
Yeah, it definitely makes you grow up, obviously, because you got to adapt quickly. You know, there's no time to settle in, really, because you're there. You got to perform right away. If you don't perform, the next guy comes and takes your position. Or not even that. You're going in there to take the other guy's position because you're on loan, technically. So you got to earn your position. And then you play all the parts. You know, sometimes, you know, you don't have as much, I should say, you don't have as much strikes as the other guy that is from that country and has played at that club for a while, to make bad performances or have a bad run of form. You know, so sometimes there's managerial changes. So the two times that I went out on loan, for example, to France and then to Spain, the two managers that brought me in, they ended up getting sacked like midway through the season. And then a new manager comes in and sometimes it doesn't work out. You know, you're not his player. You're on loan. You know, the reality is you have an American cloud over your head, and that kind of plays a part in some managers. So that all those things play a part, and you have to just make sure that you're ready at all times. So I've had some good stints. I've had some, you know, not great stints, but a lot of learning moments from those stints. And it's definitely a sink or swim world in Europe. You know, you don't have the, you know, the realities. Everyone's fighting for their job. It's a, you know, there's promotion, there's relegation. There's certain certain incentives on finishing in certain positions in the table. So every moment in every game is important, you know. And for example, you know, guys are fighting for contracts. Guys are fighting, you know, to get sold, to show themselves for the next move. So every moment in training, every game is important. And I feel like that lacks a little bit in MLS, because the reality is there's no consequences if you really play bad, you know. For example, as a team, you know, you won't get relegated to the second division. Your paychecks will still be paid on time. Your paychecks, if you get relegated, won't, you know, get a 30%, 40%, 50% deduction. So that sense of urgency, those little details matter with games and intensity of these games and the passion these games show. Those are little details that are, I think, big factors in the way the differences between European football and American football.
You mentioned that the American cloud that follows you around, and it's very a unique situation because it has positives but also negatives. Could you speak on those?
Yeah, I mean, the reality is, sometimes in Europe, you know, you go to places and, you know, there's a stigma that, a few years back, but even still now, that, you know, soccer isn't really a popular sport in America, and, you know, Americans don't play soccer, or should I say football, you know what I mean? They don't know how to play, blah, blah, blah. So you gotta prove them wrong. And prove yourself right, that, you know, you belong, and then all these things, because the reality is, you know, there's not much Americans in Europe. You know, now there's more than ever. When I was there, there wasn't much. You know, you can count, you know, on two hands, if, you know, which Americans are playing in like good leagues and playing well. Now it's a lot more, so fair play. So a lot of guys are testing themselves and going to Europe and wanting that challenge and doing really well. So that's a fair play. But there's always going to be that cloud. And if you play bad, you know, the Americans don't know how to play, or the Americans' fault, or this and that. So that does happen. But as I played longer in Europe and got more, you know, became more of a mainstay with the national team, that kind of does go away a bit, because then, you know, we start winning tournaments. There's more players that are playing well in Europe. And then, you know, you kind of basically repping America, you know, that they can show that we can play football, and then they kind of gain your respect. So those are some of the challenges, but those are some of the obstacles that we overcome. And now when you speak about, you know, American football, you know, the Pulisics pop up, the McKennies, the Tyler Adams, the Reynas, Tim Weahs, and they're like, whoa, these guys are top players. These guys, you know, are worth 30, 40 million pounds. You know what I'm saying? So there's definitely a lot of respect now for us. And I think you saw in the World Cup, they put some good performances in and gained some respect. So it's getting there. It's getting there. That's for sure.
When you reflect on your time in Europe, which opportunities, or is there one opportunity that kind of stands out to you in terms of being your favorite, or where you learned the most, or where you were able to perform your best on the field?
Had a lot of good moments. That's tough to say. I mean, you know, I look at each season and can pick a moment from each season, to be honest with you, because I was at, you know, a different club for a majority of that. I just remember when I was in Holland, winning the Dutch Cup. That was really special and important. That was Vitesse's first year. First trophy in the history of their existence. And I remember playing, it was like, you know, when you watch the TV, like a, you know, a cup final, it was us versus AZ Alkmaar. So one, that was 25,000 yellow and black, 25,000 red and white. And crazy. It was just an incredible atmosphere. We ended up winning the game 2-0. That was phenomenal. When I went to Reading, for example, like I came in and we were in a relegation battle, and the intensity and the pressure of those games, of relegation battle games, are amazing and definitely like nerve-wracking. And then being able to survive and escape relegation that year was really relieving, and it felt really good to come in and help that club avoid relegation, and and play in those intense games, because that also, you know, builds character and teaches you how to, you know, play under pressure in certain scenarios. So that was also a fun moment, you know, going to Anderlecht and being a leader that season. I remember Vinny's first year, and there was a lot of pressure on the club, Anderlecht being Anderlecht, biggest club in Belgium. So everyone's watching. That was also good. I learned a lot in football terms in Anderlecht. And then probably, you know, last year in Spain was awesome for me and my wife. We loved it. The beginning was great because I was playing like every game. Obviously, then there was a managerial change and I had COVID and I lost my spot and all this stuff happened and I couldn't get it back. But living in Spain was another great experience. I was able to learn a new language and the lifestyle in Spain was definitely awesome off the pitch. So that was very enjoyable. So every place was enjoyable, that's for sure. And then obviously along that journey, all the people and teammates you meet, you become lifelong friends. And I've made some amazing friends through those times. So I can never take that away from that. You know what I mean?
Another group of teammates. Just want to speak quickly about your time with the U.S. men's national team. How candid are you in terms of your desire to get back to wearing the badge and be there for the World Cup when it's on home soil?
Yeah, that's a huge goal of mine. That's something that, you know, if I just, you know, take care of what I should take care of, it should happen. We'll see who the new manager becomes. So I'm excited about that. So I think I'm in a good situation now in MLS and in a club like Cincinnati, where I can kind of regain form and kind of get back to a certain level. And then from there, who knows what can happen, but it's definitely something that is a goal of mine for sure.
Do you have a favorite memory so far of your time representing the U.S. men's national team?
Yeah, I mean, there was some good, obviously my debut is always going to stand out just because that's the first time, you know, you've played. That was one that always sticks out to me was like, we played France right before the 2018 World Cup, before they left in Lyon away, and we ended up drawing them 1-1. But that was something that I remember, you know, we went in there with a very young squad, guys just, you know, paving their way in Europe. Dave Sarakin was interim manager at the time, so it wasn't really an established squad, but we went in there and played against a team that basically won the World Cup. And we put a great performance in and ended up drawing 1-1. So I think that was a game that really stood out to me as well. Yeah, that was one as well.
And reflecting on the journey right now, what things would you say helped you get to this moment? So in other words, why did Matt make it as a pro and why is he still going?
Question. I think it all goes back to, you know, the values and my parents instilled in me as a young kid, you know, hard work and kind of setting goals for yourself and creating a plan and working hard to achieve those goals. And then consistency, you know, you got to stay professional. You got to be on top of everything in your life, you know, making sure you're doing the right things and making sure your body's feeling good. I'm definitely getting older, so I'm feeling it. So now I have to step it up even more. But all those things add up. And then, you know, at the end of the day, it's all about, you know, discipline and how bad you want it. You know, in your head, it's about how bad you want it. How bad do you want to be successful in this sport? You know, how bad do you want to keep improving? Because there's so many players, you know, coming up, you know, and trying to take your spot. There's tons of players in this world, tons of guys trying to make it, trying to keep growing and improving and taking your spot. So you got to make sure that you're ready and performing at a good level, because you're also trying to take other people's spots as well. So it's a big competition. Obviously, it's professional sport. So there's always going to be a lot of a competition and motivation to do well. So at the end of the day, it's a job, right? I mean, it's a passion, obviously, because you love the sport, but it's also a job. You know, at the end of the day, you know, if I'm not playing and I'm not performing and earning good contracts and, you know, bonuses and all that stuff, you know, I got to take care of my family. I got to set myself up for the future. You know what I'm saying? So all those things play a part. And that's just the reality of it. You know what I mean?
Heading into our fast feet round now, some quick fire questions to end up. Favorite player growing up?
Ooh. Ronaldinho.
Class.
Favorite moment of my football?
Generation.
Yeah. 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 I mean, us too. We're right there. Yeah, with
exactly.
You.
Well, how old are you guys?
29.
I'm 27. So, yeah, that's our generation, mate. You
that's
two,
our generation. Ronaldinho. It's Ronaldinho.
YouTube videos, man.
Exactly. And
yeah. Skills. Skills compilation. Watch
exactly,
that.
Exactly, man. Exactly.
Favorite moment in football?
Favorite moment in football? Ooh. Probably scoring my first professional goal, which was against New York City FC, Yankee Stadium with Red Bull. So that was one of my favorite moments for sure.
How about most difficult moment?
Most difficult moment. Oof. Oof. Most difficult moment was probably when it's a good question. I don't want to say any like losses in tournaments. Actually, I don't know. Like, I want like there's a difference between disappointed and difficult. Like, for example, like the U20 World Cup quarterfinals was disappointing because we lost in penalties. 2019 Gold Cup final, disappointing. But most difficult was probably I was in France and the manager that brought me in at Nantes got sacked. New manager came in and I didn't have a great game. My first game with him ended up, you know, making a couple mistakes for goals. And then it got suspended for the next game and then lost my spot. And then it was just kind of really hard to get back in. And I got exiled. That was difficult, but ended up working out because I went to Reading the next transfer window. But that was probably a difficult moment because yeah. It was just, you're in a different country. You can't really speak the language with the manager. You can't really speak and have a relationship and understand each other. And then, you know, it didn't work out. So that's what it was, yeah.
Best advice you ever received?
Best advice I've received? Sometimes I word it wrong, but basically, don't get too high. When you're, you know, achieving very good things and feeling like you're on top of the world, just stay calm, stay humble, and then don't get, because it's not, you know, you're not that special. And then when it's too low and you're feeling really down at yourself and you feel like the whole world's against you, it's the same thing. It's not that big of a deal. You're not that special. Just kind of stay even ground, stay in the middle, stay calm, and just keep doing what you have to do. You know what I mean? Don't think about, you know, oh, I'm the best or, oh my God, I'm the worst. The reality is no one really cares what you're doing. You know, everybody has their own problems in life and that's the reality, you know what I mean? So don't really focus on, you know, what other people think of you and just have a level head and go do what you have to do.
So true. I'm interested for this one. Favorite place you've lived?
Spain.
Yeah, hands down?
Yeah, Spain. Last year, Basque Country. So far, yeah. If it's not home, New York, New Jersey, then it's Spain for sure.
What was your favorite part about it there?
Just the lifestyle, you know, food, go into, you know, for example, all these vineyards, and I was by San Sebastian, can go to the water over there, go to Bilbao, the hikes, the mountains, you know, just the lifestyle, the siestas, the tapas. Easy, calm lifestyle, you know, having a drink, having some good food, quality food, you know, good football. Obviously, Spain's, the La Liga was an incredible league to be a part of. So just that whole lifestyle was great. The language, all that stuff. Yeah.
Can't imagine.
Best player you ever played with and against?
Oof. With probably Thierry Henry or Eden Hazard. against is tough to say because like I always say where for example you like I played against Neymar, I played against Mbappe, Benzema, Vinicius Jr. So those are players like they're the best in the world, but at the time you kind of like had a decent game against them. That makes sense. So like was that your, that was probably the best players I played against, but I struggled more sometimes against other like, you know, relatively unknown forwards or something again in relative to those types of star names, if that makes sense. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But like if you gotta talk about like best quality, probably those guys like Benzema, Vinicius Jr., Suarez, Mbappe, Neymar, those guys.
If you weren't a footballer, what would you be?
Oof. No, it never crossed my mind, to be honest. It's always, been like, ever since I was like, 14, 15, it was just like, I'm becoming a footballer. Like, there's just no plan B. Like, it's just like, this is it. Like, I have to do it. And then I never thought about doing anything else, but yeah.
Worked out. Favorite book?
Favorite book? Oof. I read a lot of books recently, but one of my favorite books was Jordan Peterson, 12 Rules of Life. I think it was 12 Rules of Life. That was a good one that I enjoyed. Yeah.
Do you have any quote or mantras that you live by?
I wouldn't say I live by any like quotes or mantras. I would kind of just say that, like, you know, the 17, 19, 20 year old version of me is different, has a different mentality or mindset that, you know, the 27 year old version of me has now, if that makes sense. Like, you know, you grow as a person, you know, you have different priorities in life at the time. For example, I have a family now. So like my priorities are a bit different than when I was younger and, you know, I was more loose. For example, you know, you grow and you have different interests and hobbies nowadays, for example, than when you were younger. So it's tough to say, but it's kind of just like continuing to just stay level-headed. You know what I mean? A lot of these footballers, professional athletes, think they're bigger than they really are. But the reality is everyone's, you know, the same, you know, the normal human being, you know what I mean? Mm. And I think with social media nowadays, that kind of creates a different perception in a lot of people's heads. But the reality is, like, we're all the same person, like, just, you know, obviously, you know, off the pitch, you're a different person than on the pitch sometimes because you're a competitor or whatever. But off the pitch, stay humble, stay focused on what you want to achieve in life, and just be a normal human being, if that makes sense.
Yeah. And the last one, result for the Open Cup against New York Red Bull in New York.
Oh, yeah, it just came out. I saw that. I mean, I don't like to predict results, but I want to, you know, predict a good performance by us and hopefully going into the next round.
Fair enough. Matt, we want to thank you so much for coming on. We'll let you get back to the family. All the best this season. And, you know, we can't wait to see what's in store for you.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Hope you guys are doing well out there. What clubs you guys are playing for right now?
I'm playing for Phoenix Lübeck. So it's in the northern part of Germany.
And I'm in Norderstedt.
Yeah. How are you guys close to each other?
Yeah, we're in the same league. Different teams.
Oh, nice. You guys know German now? How long have you been out there for?
Yeah. So 5 years, so it's a quite a long time. Enough to
learn. 3.5 for me? Yeah. But yeah, we know German now.
Nice. That's good to know. That's good to know. Knowing the language where you're playing at is so important. But that's awesome. Where are you guys really from?
From New York.
New York.
Oh, New York, right? Where in New York?
Yeah, Long Island for me, and Dill's in Hudson Valley.
Oh, nice. Yeah, close by New Jersey.
Absolutely.
Well, fair play. Keep grinding, guys. It's not easy for sure. And looks like you guys have a good mentality out there. So keep up the good spirits.
Appreciate you, man.
Thank you for taking the time.
No worries. Take care, guys.
Matt Miazga. Yeah. Who's gonna start? Yeah. It was nice to have him on. What a journeyman. I remember him when he first signed for Chelsea. I was excited as a Chelsea fan. Oh, there's an American, you know, on Chelsea. And then, yeah, what a career and journey and path he's made, you know, going, playing in 5 different countries across 6-7 years. And every country except, in Netherlands, where he spent 2 seasons there. It was just 1 season and on to the next one, or a half a season and then on to the next one, which is, it's not easy to do, to pick up and move somewhere. And like he was talking about, you have to perform immediately. There's no, like, oh, he's on loan from Chelsea, okay, he's going to always play. Like, no, he's got to prove that he should play. And he did mention what happened in France, where he didn't play well under the new coach, and that was it.
Yeah.
And for the next, you know, half a season until he could transfer out, he wasn't in the team. Credit to him. 2026 World Cup coming up soon. That would be amazing to see him in the squad. Yeah, time will tell.
Time will tell, yeah. And I mean, there's so many things that stand out from his, I mean, first, he always liked to come back to this priority and this theme for him to stay level-headed, I think is very important in his career. Because, I mean, just look what he's had to do. He's had to adapt every year to a new, besides the 1 year where he stayed for two, he's had to adapt just consistently, constantly to new situations, to new people, to new coaches, to new teammates. You know, he's always had to have this bit of chip on his shoulder to prove himself at every single year. And it just shows, goes to show, like, you know, the people coming into this game, you know, girls and guys, like, there's players who are doing things, who have done things that are so much harder than what you've had to go through. And, like, you know, he's had to adapt at, what was it, six different clubs?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, that feeling of homesickness or feeling like, you know, you don't have a home to go back to. It's always changing. Like, you know, we all feel that feeling, but you can get through it and get to the next one. And yeah, it's amazing to see, you know, what he's been able to do in his career. And, you know, I'm happy for him that he has a little bit more of normalcy, I guess, you know, signing I think he's signed till 2025 at FC Cincinnati. And, you know, like he said, if he feels he's in a good spot mentally and on the field physically. So when you're doing that and when you have all those things, you know, the performances will come. And just like Sean said, hopefully we see him there at the World Cup. I remember being a Red Bulls fan and hearing about him going to Chelsea too. So it's, you know, it's crazy full circle to get him on the pod one day. We have to, again, thank him for coming on. Thank you to the FC Cincinnati media team. And yeah, I mean, a blueprint really in my eyes for like,
yeah,
every path is different and you have to prove yourself at every turn.
Yeah, that's exactly what he did. Yeah, we'll see. I'm excited to see what the future holds for him. And yeah, exactly. I mean, six European teams and then eight, including Red Bulls and Cincinnati in total. I mean, in a what? It's eight, nine year career so far. I mean, it's not easy. And he obviously, the mentality that goes behind that is like, I can't speak enough about that because it's, and the situation, he goes to Reading when they're in fighting relegation. Throw that in the mixer, you know, and you have to perform immediately. And he did. And
then he goes on these loans and halfway through, you know, the coaches are switching again, you know, like it's half the reason why it was difficult for him to get this playing time or these starts. And, you know, the chance at Chelsea is just, it's always consistently changing. And so when a manager comes in, of course, like it's in Chelsea, you don't get a lot of time. You know what I mean? Right. Like as a manager, we've seen that you don't get a lot of time. So it's kind of tough to like give guys chances at times. You know, I'm happy he did get some chances in the Premier League. But it goes to show you. And it's cool. I mean, like the people he's played with, the people he's played under, like, you know, like a guy like Vincent Kompany, and sharing how that blueprint of success kind of transferred into what he's doing now. You know, signing a 5-year deal at Burnley and bringing them from the Championship right back to the Premier League, which is one of the most difficult things to do, especially, you know, coming down the year before and going back up. Yeah. So, I mean, that was fascinating too. But yeah, again, shout out to them. As far as us, free support, keep it rolling. Like, subscribe, share, plug, pass, review on Spotify, review on Apple, subscribe for the newsletter, check out Yanks Abroad, all the articles we've been doing with them. Shouts out to those guys, the legends. And yeah, 2023 has been a great year. We're getting on halfway soon. And, you know, it's crazy to think, like, starting this, that we've had guys like Matt Miazga coming on to share some of the blueprints for success. So more to come.
Until next time.
Keep moving forward.
Keep learning.
And make your own path.
Footwork is sponsored by ourselves and great companies such as Kong Fitness. But we love to partner with new brands that make their own path, so get in touch if you must.
Footwork.club, the official footwork website, is now live, so make sure you go join the club and check out all the new content and all the new features. Find us on YouTube at Footwork Podcast. You better like and subscribe while you're there. If not,
I don't know what to tell you.
Find us on Instagram at Footwork_Podcast. Great time there. Twitter at Footwork Podcast. TikTok at Footwork Podcast, where we like to post dance videos Those are great, but more importantly, amazing content for any dream chasers out there. Plug, plug, pass. Tell your friends, your enemies, your mother, your brother, your sister, your pastor, it doesn't matter who. Tell the mailman, your dog, anybody that can listen.
Like, subscribe, review, because all of that helps while you're there. We'll take whatever we can get to join the club.
Join the club. He messed me up. I mean, he can just mash it together, so it's fine.